So I think we are really in a very exciting period because we are lucky. We have a lot of information about the sun, and also we are in a period where we are progressing very quickly on the neutrino properties. So in my talk, I would like to discuss a little heliosismic constraints for the solar neutrino properties. First, I will recall the prediction coming from this field, heliosismic field, the sun, and the different source of neutrinos. Secondly, I would like to mention to you that we are now discussing a new picture of the sun with more dynamical effect. As you see here in these pictures, we are able with the source satellite to look to the sun inside, but also in the external part, and we are beginning to build a complete view of the sun. And finally, the perspective for the sun, also for the other stars, and the link between astrophysics and particle physics. So it's true that the sun is a special case because we have a lot of information. First, theoretical information. Secondly, seismic investigation. And finally, neutrino detection. So altogether, for 40 years, we are able to have a different way to look at the same things. And we can go from the source to the neutrino properties. And we can also go, as you have mentioned, from the neutrino properties to the sun. And this is due to the fact that we have a lot of effort dedicated to the detection. Detection of neutrino, we speak a lot today, but also detection of the acoustic waves. We are able now to measure millions of acoustic modes penetrating at different depth of the sun, and altogether we can see how we can progress, and in this case, about the sun speed, the internal rotation, and maybe one day magnetic field. Okay, so first, the prediction of the solar neutrino flux from theory to observational prediction. It's true that we have a lot of improvement a long time. Between 1988 to 2001, we have progressed on all these things, metal opacity coefficient, all of the plasma in reaction rate, screening, for example, microscopic diffusion, radiation convection transition, existence of mixing in this transition. We have proved that there is no mixing in the solar core. We have tried to put some limit on the Maxwellian distribution. Also have a proper description of PP reaction rate, because of course we are very sensitive as far as neutrino are concerned or sound speed are concerned to the PP reaction rate. And also relativistic effect in the equation of state. At each state, there have been solar models published by us or published by the other people who are working on the field. And for example, if you look to the prediction of the chlorine, you see clearly that from this period, in fact, the progress has been drained by heliosismic result. Not only the data, but also the effort we have done to interpret the data. If you look, for example, to the Bohr 8 neutrino flux, you see with time how this flux has progressing for different reasons. For example, in our case, in 1988, our prediction was 3.8 due to the fact that we considered opacity CNO and some barium 7P gamma cross section. And after we have introduced the effect of the iron and screening, the microscopic diffusion, and you see an increase of the flux, and finally, turbulence in the tachocline, and we get on 2001 to a seismic model. I shall comment on this one. And in 2004, we get this number, which is quite different from your number, 3.88, due to the fact that effectively there was a reduction of CNO composition by 30%. So I shall comment on these two, and I come back maybe on this transparency later on. The progress we have done the last 10 years is connected to the Gulf SOHO experiment, an experiment which is aboard a satellite which is called SOHO, and it's a French-Spanish collaboration. And the idea of this experiment is to get the profile of sun speed in the region of production of the neutrinos. We can go now very near from the toward the center, in fact, up to 0.06 solar radius. And the difficulty of this experiment comes by the fact that effectively it's difficult to have a very precise determination of the frequency and very precise determination of the sun speed that need time. And effectively, after 5 years, we have reached the accuracy we need to extract information in the nuclear region. We need to have a very good accuracy, not only because the waves we are looking are mainly sensitive to the surface, so it needs a good accuracy to go up to the central part, but also because if we want to extract the dynamical effect, we need to have an accuracy better than this one, which is exactly what we get to extract the rotation inside the sun. The effect of the rotation inside the sun is at the level of 0.4 microhertz, so we need to have a very good resolution in the region of the nuclear production to be able to extract this information, as you will see. So, in 2001, in fact, in June 2001, of course, there was a lot of excitation around the neutrino detection, but in our case, there was a lot of excitation about the extraction of this information because we have been able to extract the sound speed down to 0.06 solar radius, and we have been able to construct a model which is in perfect agreement with the observation of the sound speed, at least in the radiative region of the sun. If we are able to do that, we are able effectively to put some constraints on the central temperature with a good precision. It's what we have done, and it's, as you have seen, at that time, we have got this kind of number, 4.98, in comparison with the snow result, which is here. And in fact, the accuracy of our prediction coming from the seismic model is mainly due to the determination of the beryllium 7 pi gamma cross section. It's true that today, even there have been a lot of effort to remeasure this cross section, the main contribution to the error comes from this beryllium 7 pi gamma cross section. Then, we have been new result this year coming from the CNO determination in the sun. It's extremely difficult to determine properly the composition of the sun. It's done by the knowledge of lines, which are extremely perturbed by the turbulence at the surface. And this is the new result, a decrease of this CNO by 30%. And in fact, when we have this new result, it's very important for the evolution of the galactic evolution and the understanding of the evolution, the chemical evolution, with in comparison with the enrichment in oxygen. And for the first time this year, the sun is now at a good place. Before, people were thinking that the sun was very special, with very enriched, and it was very enriched in oxygen. This is not the case now, we know that. And if we look to this new result, we find a borate neutrino flux, which is reduced by about this amount. And in fact, if we look to the sound speed, we observe that the sound speed now is not in agreement with the seismic data. This is why we think that it's very important to have this seismic data, because it's really a guide today to understand the central part, and it's why, for us, we consider that it's better to compare neutrino result to seismic model than to standard model. And I would say, do not hesitate to quote the seismic data and the seismic model constrained by in situ observation. Doing that, we progress toward a current and complete picture of the sand useful for progressing in astrophysics and particle physics. Effectively, if you take the seismic model and you look to the prediction for the different experiments, the chlorine experiment, the gallium experiment, or the Bohr experiments, you see that if you introduce the parameters of oscillation produced by Bakal and collaborators, you see that the detected neutrinos, which here it's a prediction coming from the model, is in very good agreement with the observation. So now we can say, okay, we understand very well, but effectively we have not proved that, for example, the reduction for the barium-7 is correct, or the reduction for the PP neutrinos is correct. So certainly there is a great interest to go to the low energy experiment and to know if Borexino, for example, confirms this kind of reduction. But also it could be interesting to look if there is some discrepancy. And this morning it was interesting to see that we have seen that we have a general picture which seems better and better, but we have still some strange things which appear. For example, I can mention, for example, the fact that in the Galex and Sage measurement, they have a reduce of flux, which is difficult to explain for the moment. So we think that it's interesting to continue to look at the view of the sun, and mainly in our case, because the sun, we know, is a magnetic stars. And we think that the sun is not really standard. Everybody knows, and probably you have seen these pictures, that if you look at the external part of the sun, you see some activities, and this is all pictures from SOHO, and it's clear that there is some activity in the external part of the sun with a period of 11 years or even 22. The polarity of the pole inversed after 11 years, and you see a lot of sign about that, thing like that, ejection of material from the sun, or evolution of the spot along the latitude, from high latitude to the equators, along period of time. It's quite regular phenomena, and what is interesting is to understand that and to see if there is some connection between these external pictures and what's arrived in the internal part, and if maybe there is some signature which is interesting for the neutrinos. So the theoretical solar cycle, now we are completely sure that it's an internal origin. And of course we need to understand the role of the rotation, in fact, which induce and which maintain the magnetic field. Effectively, if you are at the external part of the sun, you see at the photosphere something like that, curves and a lot of activities. And if you consider the rotation, you can see now that the rotation play a very central role to modify the magnetic field and to reorganize the magnetic field in some region of the sun, which is called the tachocline. And what we are trying to understand is how this tachocline maintains this activity along years. So the first step to progress on this is to determine the rotation profile. This has been done with GOLF and MDI, always because of the quality of the observation down to the core. And now we have this view of the sun, a differential rotation at the surface, as is well known, 25 days at the equator, about 35 days at the pole, and we maintain this rotation in the convective zone, and we have a sudden variation of this rotation profile, and in the central region, in the radiative region, we have some flat profile. And now, this profile is well determined down to 0.2 solar radius. Okay, so we need to interpret that, and of course, this is not contained in the standard models. Of course, there is no rotation in standard models. And we need to do some magneto-hydrodynamical calculation to understand that. And this is the first step, understanding the differential rotation in the convective zone. And for that, we need to do some 3D calculation and to put in the equation the convection and the effect of convection with rotation. People have succeeded to have some well representation of this differential rotation. So after that, they can begin to build a new picture of the sun where you have some cells and when you have some meridional circulation from the equator to the poles. And after that, you can introduce magnetic field and see how magnetic field modifies this profile of rotation. It's what people are doing just now. This is important also for the radiative zone, which maybe is more interesting for people who are working on neutrinos. Of course, this is a simulation of the radiative zone. When you put the differential rotation at the limit of the radiative zone, that means in the region where the tachocline is present, the transition region between convection and rotation, if you put only rotation, of course, you observe something like that. You observe that the differential rotation diffuses in the radiative zone. This is not the case. It's not what we can be able to observe. So to avoid this kind of things, we need to introduce magnetic field in the radiative zone also. And people are working on that and try to identify what kind of geometry is correct for the magnetic field and what kind of amplitude of magnetic field we need to observe the present sun. And people get to toroidal field at the level of 100 kilogauss. Okay, so the question is there some connection between magnetic field in the sun and neutrino properties? The only thing we know is, in fact, the external part for the moment, because we know that the frequency are sensitive to the evolution of the cycle, and there is some difference in frequency, and we can calculate the magnetic field directly from the seismic observation. For the internal part, we need to simulate effect, and we have some only limit, for example, limit of 300 kilogauss for the tachocline, or 100 kilogauss, as I said previously, and also limit in the central part of about 7 or 30 megagauss. So what are the perspectives? In fact, if we want to progress on that, we need to have a better determination of the very central part, because I say that already we get this insight of the core down to 0.06, but in fact with a very bad resolution, bad space resolution. And here you see the dependence versus the mass. And as you see, the radiative zone is 98% of the mass. So we have not, still now, a very good determination of this radiative zone if we want to look at the hydro or magneto-hydrodynamical processes. It's what we can do with the gravity modes. So let's comment on gravity modes. Gravity modes are modes who are penetrating present in the radiative zone, very difficult to detect, and we are looking for them for a long time. For example, if you look to this L equal 1 gravity mode, you see that you can have a resolution in the very central part, which is largely improved in comparison, for example, with acoustic mode, where you have something like that, and a very small contribution in the central part. So where we are in 2004 about that, we have done some research of these modes with the GOLF experiment and find some candidates after 800 days and continue the observation for a long time and finally observe candidates with several multiplets, which we are now examining in details. We have just last week do a new analysis after 3,000 days, and we are at this level. This is the acoustic modes. Now we know practically all of them. And this is the last acoustic mode we now observe very properly, L equal 1, L equal 0, radial mode, N equal 3, L equal 0, radial mode, N equal 1, the last one, L equal 1, N equal 1, it is this one, without ambiguity, which seems to encourage an increase of the rotation in the central part of the sun. And now we are detecting this kind of mode, L equal 5 gravity modes. So we are continuing to observe, and we are continuing to progress on this gravity mode detection. But of course, if we want to be sure about that, we need to improve the capability of detection, because we have taken 8 years to begin to see the first modes. And this is our new project, decreasing the statistical error of our instrument. This is, maybe you don't know this kind of pictures. This is the spectrum of the acoustic modes and the gravity modes. And as you see, the gravity modes are completely dominated by the granulation noise. That means the turbulence at the surface. So if we want to progress, we need to decrease the gravity, this granulation noise by a factor 5 to 10. And it's what we are doing just now, preparing a new experiment, which is called GOLF New Generation. And the objective of this new instrument is to study the temporal variability of internal process, to improve the solar core knowledge, and to progress of the internal magnetic field. And also to try to put some constraints on the dark matter, because if we are able to have a very good spatial resolution in the central core, probably we can put also some limits on the neutralino, for example. How we do that? We, in fact, measure a line in the atmosphere of the sun, the sodium lines, and we can demonstrate that if we extract the Doppler velocity at different edges of the line, we are able, effectively, to have a non-coherent granulation noise and to improve the capability of detection of the gravity modes by a factor 5 or 10. As you see here, between two points like that, we have only 25% of coherence in the solar noise. So we are preparing that in the lab for first a prototype, and we hope to have measurement beginning next year on ground. And for the moment, we are looking to all the technological validation. We use a magnet for that, as you see, a small magnet between 2 and 8 kilogauss. And this magnet allowed us to look to the Zeeman effect and have 8 points along the line. We propose also a microsatellite for 2008. But it's extremely difficult to have just now. So really, we need your support. I shall appreciate a lot if you support this idea, because it's difficult to launch small satellite just now in France and also in Europe. If we succeed, we will measure with GOLF NG during 2 years, at the same time than the American observation, which is called HMI on SDO. I would like to mention also that we will also observe other stars with the Corot satellite, which will be launched in 2006. Okay, I finish just now. So, as a conclusion, I would say that there has been constant progress on the knowledge of the sun and on the solar neutrinos. We will use soon constraints coming from gravity modes, but effectively it's extremely interesting to have these two possibilities to observe the sun, the heliosismic data and the neutrino detection, and I'm sure that it will help a lot for the determination of the neutrino properties we have seen already. We want to progress on the type of neutrinos, Majorana or not, the magnetic moment of the neutrinos, and I'm sure that we have a lot of theoretical investigation to estimate, if it's possible, to have some constraints on the magnetic moment coming from the interaction with the magnetic field of the sun. And we may have some chance to put some constraints on the dark matter. We need to prepare the next generation of neutrino investigation for the supernova and the high energy source. So we need new generation of instruments on both sides, and we need mutual assistance to get all this project. Thank you.